Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
It's Dr. Kevin Most is on line 7. Dr. Most, this is John Williams. Good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you guys doing?
Good. I trust you're well, doctor.
Yep, hanging in there. Yep, we're doing fine.
Are you seeing patients in person every day, or is that not what your day is like?
No, my days are limited to, I'm down to one day where I see patients. The rest of the time I am trying to help this hospital run.
He's the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. I'm going to read you a few questions I have. Are there different strains of COVID-19 out there? Some people get terribly sick. Some show no symptoms. Are we all getting the same thing?
Yeah, so John, viruses mutate all the time. It's one of the reasons why our influenza vaccine changes all the time. So is the coronavirus mutating? Certainly. If you look at the history in China, they think that there are two strains out there. Is that the explanation of why it's impacting one more than another? We're not sure. We're not sure at this point because we don't know whether it's genetics, whether it's underlying disease, whether it's a bad immune system. So most of what we're seeing is involving patients with immune system issues and our seniors. The healthy ones are doing quite well for the most part, and then we do have some one-offs. So we will know more as we go forward, but there's still the major strain of coronavirus. There may be some mutated substrains that we really haven't tracked as well.
My guess is, though, your best bet is that we're all getting the same bug, and the difference in symptoms that we're experiencing are related to underlying health issues.
Correct.
What about this? What advice are you giving today that you weren't giving 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, John, you know what? My message has been pretty consistent, I think, for the past couple weeks. You know, I can't talk more about social distancing, you know, staying at home, building up your immune system. Do what you can to protect yourself and the vulnerable population that we're the most concerned about. Got to remember, 85% of us are probably going to get this and have no problems with it. We're going to do just fine. It's that 15% that you're hearing about in the news now where we're overwhelming hospitals and needing more PPE and needing ventilators. So really, my goal is still to say to people, stay away from those people. We'll shorten this duration. We'll dampen that curve. So I think my message has been pretty consistent for the past at least 2 to 3 weeks. You know, and people are asking me now all about masks and should we be wearing masks. I think that, you know, now that we're finding out more and more about asymptomatic carriers, that individuals who are still out working and possibly getting exposed, a mask may not be a bad idea. It also makes us stop from touching our face and potentially stops us from infecting others.
One thing I've noticed I've changed in the last 14 days is originally I was not that circumspect about wiping down food containers, grocery bags, things like that. And now I find us, you know, treating those delicately, disposing of them, wiping down the things, transferring the food, that whole regimen. At first I thought that was unnecessary, and now I'm like, well, it doesn't hurt, and that's what I do.
Yeah, John, it doesn't hurt. Does it decrease anxiety? Absolutely. You know, that's probably one of the biggest things that we need to do for the healthy people out there is to decrease the anxiety. And if it is changing the food out of containers when you get the food from a drive from a delivery man, you know, taking it out and putting it on plates and disposing that and then washing your hands before you eat, if you handle the package, that should lower everyone's anxiety for anything going forward.
Does the soap and water literally penetrate or kill the virus? I mean, if I just give it a good scrubbing with soap and water, is that it?
Yeah, I mean, with your hands you're talking about? Yeah. I mean, why I'm telling people are saying, should I be washing my vegetables with soap and water? I'm like, absolutely not. You know, the soap on your vegetables is going to make you nauseated, and, you know, that's not what we want here. But as far as containers and things that you're going to want to use again, hot water, soapy hot water and cleaning that is going to be fine.
After 14 days, though, that would be April 7th, Yeah, and for many of us, we've been sequestered longer than the 14 days. Shouldn't this thing fall off a cliff next week? By April 7th, Chicago will have been well into 14 days. Uh-huh. And if so, why are we adding three more weeks?
Okay, so let me play devil's advocate, John. If that were the case, that would mean that at the beginning of flu season every year, if we said everyone take a two-week vacation, influenza will be gone by the time we're done. Right, so the virus has its own timeline, and it's not just 14 days. So we're making some major assumptions. Were you totally isolated? Did you go out and get groceries, get gas, go to a pharmacy? Were you exposed to an asymptomatic carrier? So the 14 days is to dampen this curve so that we decrease the surge in the hospitals. It's not going to make the virus go away. Our goal is not to do that right now. Our goal is to slow down the surge in the hospital so that we have enough ventilators and we have enough staff. We know this virus is going to run its course, but it's how long it's going to be before it runs, we don't know. So our goal right now is decrease the number of people that could be exposed that are going to end up at a hospital.
Dr. Kevin Most is on the phone line. If I know a couple that has been sequestered as sincerely as my wife and I have been, and we've all been self-isolated for 14 or more days, is it okay for all of us to get together?
You know, that's a really good question, and we still say anybody that is going to get together, the social distancing should still be there. But someone who's been totally sequestered and has not been out to a gas station, to a pharmacy, to a grocery store, the problem is we have these asymptomatic carriers that we don't know whether they're going to be a carrier for 10 days, 12 days, 14 days, 16 days. That healthy person may have the virus living in them and still have no symptoms. So we're going to be as careful as we can over these next 3 weeks, because next four weeks, you did exactly what you were thinking, and you were an asymptomatic carrier, and now that reassurance is in the next group, and the spread continues or expands. So it's painful, I know, but our goal is, especially with these asymptomatic carriers that are spreading this without having symptoms, that's what we're trying to limit right now.
Aren't more people still getting and dying from the flu? Some commentators are still suggesting that we're overreacting to this, and it, in fact, sounds like maybe they've got a point there. What would you say about that?
Well, you know, influenza continues to be an illness that'll cause, 30,000 deaths a year. That's with a vaccine. We have to remember that. That's with us vaccinating people. If the numbers and the projections are right, we could be seven times that level. So, and add that on top of the influenza numbers. So we are still getting influenza. The other thing with influenza is we have medications that can treat it. We have vaccines that can slow it, and we know a lot more about it. So without knowing more about this illness and how it's going to project over the next 3 weeks, month, we're going to be as cautious as we can. And I would say this, for the older people, is much more serious than influenza. For the younger people, it seems almost the opposite. I'd rather have coronavirus with mild symptoms than influenza. So the comparison of the two is very difficult to do at this time.
So here's a question from one of our listeners. I'll pause here, doctor, and ask you to answer it just after a quick short break. But Chris says, is it okay to meet her son and wife outside, his son and wife outside, and go for a walk? Is it okay for us to just walk down the street together in a minute on WGN? Dr. Kevin Most is on a phone line, and with Dr. Most is Chris, who had a question about taking a walk. Hey, Chris, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Is it okay for me to meet my son and daughter-in-law outside in a park and go for a walk?
Chris, I think it's an absolutely phenomenal idea, as well as a phenomenal question, with a couple caveats. Don't congregate, stay 10 feet away from each other if no one has symptoms, and everyone wants to say, oh, and I baked you this, and here I want to give you this, and next thing you know, you're 2 feet away from them, and you're, shaking hands or whatever. But from the social aspect of what you're saying, absolutely. If you go for walks in your neighborhood right now, you probably see your neighbors that are 10 feet away from you. So doing that with family at a meeting place is a great idea. Stay 10 feet away. Walk. You can still have a conversation. The fresh air is good for you. The sunlight is good for you. The social interaction is good for you. So it's like Zooming, except you're in person and you're still away from each other. So as long as you don't get close, and as long as no one has symptoms, it's a great idea.
Perfect. Thank you.
Oh. On behalf of everybody, Dr. Most, oh, thank you for that question, Chris, and thank you for that answer. Although, Doc, nobody describes my walks as zooming. But then what about this? Somebody said, if someone who is contagious sneezes and say, I walk through that sneeze field, is there any real chance of me being infected?
Well, there is if you're in close proximity to them. That's why social distancing is 8 to 10 feet, right? And I say 10 feet. Plus, if you're outside, that those droplets are going to land on the ground, which you are going to be past, versus them landing on a tabletop that you may touch. So being outside is good for all of us, as long as we're not congregating. That's the biggest thing. Seeing people where they're showing, you know, the beaches in Florida, or even individuals in New York, you know, being outside is okay. You have your social distance and you're in fresh air, just like you would be in your home. So you can still have a conversation with your neighbors, as I'm sure many people are, across the street or across the yard. You can do the same thing with your family, and walking even makes it better. So walk around people. Everyone is aware of everyone right now. Normally you would stay on the sidewalk and pass somebody. I can tell you on my walks that I've had, people are going into the grass, or I go almost into the street to make sure that we're not close to each other. So it's smart, but the exercise is good for you, the fresh air and the sunlight are all good for you as well.
What do you say to Florida, doctor? It was only yesterday that they finally decided that natives there should be sequestered for 14 days.
Yeah, you know, John, it's very disappointing just for me from a just looking at the view. If you understand the population of Florida and who is there, a good portion of them at this time of the year are the vulnerable population. And for us to allow that or to continue that was a little disappointing. And I'm afraid that when you look at what's going to happen in Florida and possibly Louisiana with what happened at Mardi Gras, I think you're going to see some numbers that some people are going to be Monday morning quarterbacking, yeah, saying, boy, I wish we would have started this 3 weeks earlier.
Well, I've got the Louisiana numbers in front of me now, and Illinois has had 60, these are hours old, but I'll just show you the comparison is the point. Illinois, 6,980 cases, and when we had 6,980 cases, Louisiana, with a much smaller population, 6,400 cases. They are per capita now experiencing a higher incidence than Illinois is.
Yep. So you have a lot of people that not only went to Mardi Gras, but you also have a lot of people that worked at Mardi Gras. And so those individuals now have been exposed, and you're going to see those numbers increase, unfortunately.
So go ahead, Steve.
Doctor, it seems to me that the more they delay it, the more we're going to have to suffer through our own sequestration. Is
Hello,
that right?
Iowa. Yep.
Steve, you're absolutely spot on. You know, the people think that once it's out of the area, it's out of the area. No, the importance of 87% of this country being sequestered right now or to be socially isolating is so key, and it should be 100%. I understand there's rural parts of this country, but still, what we really want to do is dampen this curve again to prevent the areas in the hospitals taking the big burden. We're talking about rural areas saying, why should we do this? Well, I assure you, a rural area doesn't have the 50 ICU beds that we have here. They may have a hospital with 25 beds total.
Well, and isn't this a possible scenario? So I'm in Chicago, and I'm going to go see family in Carbondale. And in central and southern Illinois, they barely have it. But if I stop at a gas station in Pekin, and I touch that thing, and I have the virus, then somebody else comes in Pekin, and they touch the touchpad on the gas pump, and now they've got it. And then they spread it to Carlinville and Edwardsville, and suddenly it spreads out in southern Illinois, even though they're not Chicago. I mean, that's a scenario, right?
That is the exact scenario, John. That's the exact scenario of travel of this virus. And that's why we're saying stay home, keep it local, deal with your local issues right now so that we don't spread this. And, you know, like you said, like I said, this virus isn't going to be going away. We're still going to have cases in June and July. What we don't want is the huge number of cases coming now. The burden is going to be on the hospitals to deal with this. So we're asking you as healthcare providers, and you all look at us as heroes, and I can tell you there's a ton of heroes working on this right now. These heroes are just asking you, do something simple. Stay at home, sit on the couch, relax, because you guys taking activity and doing activities is just making the burden harder for the docs and the nurses and the frontline respiratory people. And So I think it's a simple request, that I wish it's one we took more seriously over the last couple of weeks.
You agree with May 1st then for the city?
Yes, I do.
Jim is listening to us in Florida. You're on WGN. Hi, Jim.
Hi, John. Love you listening to you guys down here. Hi, doctors.
Hi, Jim.
My wife and I were both approaching 70. We drove down here, got here on leap day, and we've been down here the whole rest of the time. We extended our stay one more week, and we can do it another week, but we feel like we're kind of stuck. Should we come home? Should we stay? If we get home, can I see my daughter and our grandkids?
No, we get it, Jim. Hold on. Let's let him respond.
Yeah, John, you know, there's a lot of people that want to leave Florida now, and, you know, the isolate in place is very important. Plus, traveling back right now is probably not one of the safer things. To John Williams' point, touching gas stations, where are you going to stop? Hotels may be closed on your way back. So right now, if you can isolate and protect yourself in place right now for a couple of weeks, that would probably be the strongest thing, especially knowing that you are part of the vulnerable population that we're concerned about being exposed.
If he does decide to come home, then no contact with any family for the 2 weeks that he's back, right?
Yeah, I'm telling seniors right now, no contact with anybody. I mean, unfortunately, I'm sorry, it goes beyond 2 weeks. If you're in that vulnerable population of, you know, over 70 with underlying illnesses, you should be protecting yourself as much as you can. 2 weeks from now, this virus is still going to be here. Let this curve dampen before you start to come out.
Thank you very much.
Jim, thanks for the phone call. Our best to you, our best to your family. Frank, you wanted to ask what? You're on WGN Radio.
Hey, King John. My question for the doctor is that I'm nearly 50 years old. For as long as I've been alive, the flu virus has been a part of our lives. More so in the winter, not so much in the summer. But if the coronavirus is parallel to the influenza virus, does that mean that the coronavirus is here to stay? Because we have not found a vaccination for the influenza virus.
So, Frank, it's a great question that is very interesting. So if you look at the coronavirus that we're dealing with right now, and it is closer to the SARS virus than it is to influenza. SARS lasted 6 months and fell off the face of the earth, and we haven't seen a case since 2004. Will that happen? Projections are that it probably won't happen. But coronavirus is also cousin to the common coronaviruses, which cause regular colds, and they are around all year long, more in the winter. So we're not sure exactly, will this fall off like SARS? Will it go to seasonality, or will it follow a pattern like the common cold virus that is around all the time, although much less in the summer?
Doc, if I've had it, am I going to be immune?
So, John, if you've had it, you're probably immune right now. The question of how long the immunity is going to last is going to be answered probably over the next 5 to 6 months. You will see right now, our testing right now is to identify those who have the disease and isolate them. As we come out of this, our testing will be to say who had the disease, didn't know it, and still has the immunity in their system. So you'll start seeing more and more about antibody testing and serum blood testing to see how long the immunity lasts and how strong the immunity lasts. It will give us an idea of the importance of a vaccine very quickly.
Dr. Kevin Most is the chief medical officer, as you all know, at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Thanks once again, doctor.
You got it, John. Take care. I'm sure we'll talk soon.
I'm afraid we will. We so appreciate your using your time to inform our listeners that way. Dr. Most's podcasts of his previous conversations are posted on the front of our WGN Radio webpage, and they are among the most popular hits that we get. And now you know why.